Good afternoon. My name is... Ooh. Good afternoon. My name is Carla Hall. I'll be your guest announcer today. On the Women of Wisdom show today, we're going to be talking to best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author, Bridget Cook Burt. Your host today is Wynne Kelly Charles, and she's also a best-selling author. Bridget is a New York Times best-selling author, as we just had discussed, and a transformational speaker. Her book titles include The Witness Wore Red, Shattered Silence, and Skinhead Confessions from Hate to Hope. She had a near-death experience that radically changed her life, and how she sees the world has enabled her to do the work that she does today. So today we're going to be talking to her about her books and her upcoming retreat. Should be an exciting show, and without further delay, I will bring you your host as soon as I unmute the microphone.
Thank you, Ms. Cola. And I'm
good evening.
And honored to have Bridget Cook Burt on the other end, and I did not realize she is a New York Times best-selling author, and that is my first question. My first question to Bridget is, how did it feel when you read your books on the New York Times best-selling list?
Oh, I have to tell you, Wynne, that is something truly a beautiful thing, especially because we knew that more people would have the opportunity to read that message and to know, you know, it happened with Rebecca Musser's story and The Witness Wore Red, and it delves into so much that was happening and is still happening within the FLDS religion. Not just concerning polygamy, but what Warren Jeffs was doing to these little girls behind closed doors. And so it was beautiful to know that more people would have an understanding of ground, that religion, that society.
So can you please go into more details? This wasn't even going to be one of my questions, but can you please go into more details about why you vote the New York Times best-selling book?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. I think, you know how you have defied the odds, you know, by becoming an author and competing in the Kona Ironman triathlon and all the amazing things that you've done, you know, your radio show, all of these other things. Those kinds of things, they really inspire me. And when I had the opportunity to meet Rebecca Musser, what inspired me about her was that she was this selfless server. She sacrificed quite a bit of her personal life and just, you know, everyday aspects of life to be able to show up, especially for her little sister at a trial against Warren Jeffs in Utah, because her little sister had been forced to marry their first cousin, who she did not love, and he was very unkind to her. Yeah, at age 14, if you could believe that, was forced to be married.
That was tough.
But when she was in Texas, and she came down during the raid to help law enforcement and to help her people, because there were so many misconceptions that were happening. And she saw, you know, in the temple what Warren had been doing. In fact, Willie Jessup just this week on Oprah's OWN, her empowerment network, she was interviewing Warren Jeffs' old henchman, his bodyguard, who now is very upset with what Warren has been doing. But Rebecca was really the first one to discover it. And she was the only civilian that had gone into the temple and was able to see and say, yes, Warren is doing this to these little girls, and to confirm that. And she was the only one that was willing to stand up and speak the truth. And so she just really inspired me. And so I hope to put that inspiration of what an incredible, courageous woman she is into the book. And I think, you know, her life is fascinating. So many of us can hardly comprehend to grow up in that kind of society, to be the 19th wife of 71 women. And I know, 71. And she had just barely turned 19, and she was forced to marry a man more than four times her age.
71, and she was 14 at the time.
She just barely turned 19, but he was more than four times her age. So he was older than her grandfather.
Oh, my God. So has this person read this account of what you have done about her? And what does this person think about this book?
What does she feel about her book?
What does she feel about the book you did on her?
She actually loves the book. she feels like it was very well done. Yeah, because we worked together on it. So it worked out very well.
So it wasn't necessarily because there's so much controversy within that subject topic, you kind of had to let the cat out of the bag at the beginning, because did you have to jump through hoops to write that book or no?
Oh, yeah. We had to jump through a lot of hoops, and we didn't have a formal manuscript in the beginning because there were trials that were still happening. So I was just conducting thousands and thousands of hours of interviews and collecting data and, you know, talking to reporters and talking to the Texas Rangers and others that were, you know, involved in the raid and things that were happening in Utah as well as Texas. So there was a tremendous amount of research that had to go in. And then, you know, and then we had to bide our time and take care of, you know, make sure that she was really being taken care of, because going out on a limb, and actually she was in more danger before the book came out than after. She still has a bodyguard. She still has to watch because, you know, there are a lot of loyal members, people who still follow Warren Jeffs. So she just has to be careful, but she is very careful, and she recognizes that, you know, nobody stood up for her when it was time for her to, you know, be married. Nobody said, you have a choice. She didn't know she had a choice. And so, you know, she absolutely, you know, she tried to bring it to her parents' attention that she didn't want to do this. And her father said, well, your salvation is assured, sis. You know,
so,
in other words, whatever you have to sacrifice here on earth, then that means that you're going to have your reward in heaven.
So basically what you're saying is she was set up to do this.
Yes.
She had no choice. She didn't know, I could run away, essentially. Yes. She didn't know.
Right. At the time, she didn't know she could run away. She didn't really know anyone who really had run away. You know, their culture was so strict, and women in particular had very well-defined roles that they were not allowed to step out of. And if they had a problem, they were supposed to keep sweet and not complain. And they had to, you know, learn what it was like to be a second or third or 25th wife, you know. And that was their role, was to replenish the earth and to be as sweet as they could to their sister wives and to take really good care of their husband and their children. And they were not to have opinions or a voice. They were just to keep sweet.
Oh, boy. And for you as a witness on the outside to all this, how did it make you feel?
Well, I'll tell you, the process of writing this book, frankly, for me, was very life-changing. Number one, not only is Rebecca Musser she's younger than me, but she was highly inspirational to me. But it also caused me to step out of, you know, the work that I'd been doing and the time that I was making sure that I was spending with my kids. And, you know, I was doing a lot in business. But it made me take a look at, you know what, I've been placed in a unique position where I have a voice and people listen, and I'm a business leader and a woman leader. And I can do something with my voice as well. And so I became an activist, and I started with a really powerful group of women, including Celeste Gleave. We created a nonprofit foundation that's called Sheroes United. And it's about highlighting the heroic stories of women worldwide. And it just, you know, it really assisted me to realize that I had so much that I could give back, and that, you know, my voice could add something too, because, you know, I'm not Rebecca Musser, and I certainly hadn't been through what she'd been through, but I definitely had my own story, and I realized, holy cow, there is a lot that I can do that I hadn't given myself permission to do or even dream that I could do that now I'm doing. So it was very life transforming.
Well, that's one of the questions I'm going to ask you is, why did you want to become a author? Why did you want to get into the field of authoring books?
Been a little bit of a fascinating story, Wynn. I'm glad you asked me that question. I actually, in my early 20s, I had a near-death experience. And it was such an intense experience. Like, you know, I was listening to nurses outside in the corridor outside my room, and they're saying, we better call her mother because she's not going to make it until morning. And I, you know, was profoundly sad because I knew I had not lived to fulfill the measure of my creation. I just knew it. But I also felt really small. And then I had this experience where I went up. I was like in the room, but I was up higher than the room, and I was a part of the room, but the room was just absolutely filled with unconditional love. Like, I had really incredible parents, but I'll tell you what, this unconditional love was unlike anything I had ever experienced, to the degree that everything vibrated with it. It was just incredible. And my body was healed. I was able to tell them about a medication that was killing me, and the nurse thought I was crazy, but luckily the doctor, he heard me and he took me off that medication, and I walked out of the hospital the next day. So I had this really profound experience, but the coolest thing was that a dramatic shift in my perception of myself and of humanity took place that day. And I was able to go to Colorado and to work with high-risk gang kids, you know, these kids that, you know, come from a long line of several generations of gang members, you know, where everyone in their family are gang members. And I was able to see when they wanted to change their life and watch that light come on in their eyes. And it was then that I fell in love with the human soul. So I started writing these small stories, but oh, wow, I knew I wanted to write books, because I knew how profoundly affected I had been by books as I was growing up. So I wanted to write books that would open perspectives and allow people to see, you know, the miracles that are possible in our own lives.
Oh, my God. So not only did you have a calling to write books, but you did it in such a way that it made you a New York Times bestseller with this one book, and now have your other two books been on the New York Times bestseller list or no?
My first book was called Skinhead Confessions from Hate to Hope, and that one started small, although it still has momentum, like in prisons and therapist offices and colleges and universities. And then I did Shattered Silence, The Untold Story of a Serial Killer's Daughter, and that one became a national bestseller. And it was seen on Oprah and Dr. Phil and CNN and Good Morning America on 2020, because of the power of the woman in that book, Melissa G. Moore, who was the daughter of the Happy Face serial killer, and was very open and honest and raw and real about her, overcoming being a serial killer's daughter and claiming a life for herself, no matter what anybody else thought. So her story is really powerful. So that book did really well, and it's, you know, continue to do well. We're getting ready to do a second edition, and Melissa is working on her own show right now that will be on television where she's turning around and helping other families to be able to work through the same kinds of things that she went through. So I'm just so blessed that all the different people that I've had the opportunity to work with have been so powerful. It's been wonderful. And I recently got to do an anthology. I'd done one before with Lisa Nichols from The Secret, but this recent one was absolutely incredible too, with Dr. Nancy O'Reilly, and it's called Leading Women. And it recently reached the top 100 on Amazon as well. So I've got another one, but these incredible women that share their secrets to life and business and happiness. It's just a beautiful book.
Well, that sounds amazing. And for my listeners out there who know this, I am actually involved in my own work/anthology, and I wanted to ask you, Bridget, and you, Cola, because you, Cola has actually helped me with one anthology. The other one I did out of Seattle, Washington, which that's another story in itself. And so I wanted to ask both of you, actually, what would you recommend to all my listeners out there who want to be involved in anthologies but have never written anything? Would you recommend to them that they write their own book, number one, or just dive in with two left feet in the anthology of 2D? And how would one go about doing this?
Well, Carla, do you wanna first break in?
Well, I can. First of all, this is my third one that my company Hot Pink Publishing is sponsoring. It's called Chocolate and Diamonds for the Woman's Soul. And it's going to actually have 100 women's voices in short story form from 1,000 to 1,200 words to participate in that. And we are getting a lot of women who they're saying that it's easier for them to just write a story. But the miracle that happens when they start writing a single story is that they decide they want to write their own book, or they decide to move forward with their own book. So this is the third one that I've been doing. The first and second one were Empowered Women of Social Media. I based that off of a group that I created in 2010, which now has about 24,000 members, women members who talk to each other about different things. And I wanted to give back to them in some way. So in 2014, I brought out the first Empowered Women of Social Media series, and we ended up having over 100 women in that one, 400 pages long. The second one launched on International Women's Day, and it's Global Unity, Finding Global Unity in Social Communities, the second in the Empowered Women series. So I think it's easier for women to come in with just a short story and get the writing emotions out of the way. Then that kind of opens up their soul to do more and to even start to write their own book. It's hard to write your book when you've had pain in your past. So that's what we're hoping to do, bring in brand new writers who've never written anything but who have an incredible story.
So you would say it's easier for people to jump in with two left feet than write their own book, overcome the pain, and then do the anthology.
Well, and I think she has a good handle on that. I found that to be the case, that there's a lot of women who have written an anthology, and then they said, you know what, I was able to conquer that. That was one of my biggest fears, was to be a part of a book or to have a book. And then they number one, they address those emotions and the pain from the past. They get real. They put it on paper. And then they also, you know, as women, boy, we really inspire each other when we tell these kinds of stories. And we recognize, oh, my heck, we're not alone. You know, that we have so much in common.
Yes, we do.
So it's a really wonderful thing. I do have people that I help in my Inspired Writers Retreat that have never written a book and never done an anthology, and they find that they're able to, get their story out. And we do a lot of healing through writing, and then do a lot of making sure they're on purpose with their book. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. My first anthology I did with Lisa Nichols, I did it actually as more of a marketing platform, because I was writing about skinheads and serial killers, right? And people didn't know that they were transformational stories. And I wanted to bring in that, more magical transformational element, so people understood that, yes, these people have been through the depths of hell, but they've come out on the other side.
Yeah.
And now they're incredible contributions to society, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I think anthologies are a beautiful way for women to shine and to, and to start out. And you know, I did one recently, like I said, but it was an honor to be a part of this group of really incredible women. I think even if you're a published author and you have the opportunity to collaborate and reach out to other women, you know, leading women is actually going out worldwide and is going to be translated in other countries. And I think how beautiful for us to be able to show up as women leaders.
How many languages is your latest anthology going to be translated into?
I'm not sure with this latest one, because we just came out. We had our launch in December, you know, a soft launch, and the big launch in January, and it has just really taken off. And part of it is just the power of the women in the book that are, you know, showcasing it worldwide.
Yes.
But it's got some incredible momentum. So it just goes to show what's possible even with an anthology.
And I am actually, for those of you who do not know, I will be a sixth-time published author as of May. As of May. I published under my own name to begin with, and then I went to Anthology Realm. Back publishing under Anthology and under my own name as well. So, and this is all at the age of 27, with cerebral palsy, even though I haven't made it to the New York Times bestseller list. We hope
yet.
Unison, we say yet.
You say yet. Both of you guys say yet. So I am honored to have Bridget on and Paula chime in where she can. And I'm honored to have both of you on and talk about the incredible power of a woman. I didn't realize this was going to turn into the incredible power of a woman story, but that's okay. And so I want to talk about, with 6 minutes left, I want you to quickly mention about your writing retreat, Bridget, and tell us how we can get involved with that.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you for asking. Well, one of the things that I love the very most, just because I've worked with so many authors with these really tender but compelling stories, is to be able to assist other authors to get their stories out on paper. And so I do work with some people in fiction. My specialty, obviously, is nonfiction, these, you know, incredible biographies and memoirs. And so we have a really intensive 3.5-day retreat that we do up in the mountains. We have a couple different locations in Utah that we do them. We're also being invited to come other places in the nation to be able to do them. So as long as we have 10 or more people, we can come to your neck of the woods. And we have, you know, delicious food and this cozy lodging, but the incredible collaboration of authors with authors. You know, and lots of women helping women, and we have generally have some men in the mix, and so we, you know, do a lot of work together, and then they also get one-on-one time with me, so I can help them to polish and pitch and promote their book and how to publish it and get it out there in the very best way that they can. And we have the really incredible intensive teaching, and then they also have time to write, and we always have it in inspiring settings. So I love doing inspired writers retreats, and I hope that you can all come.
What has been your favorite setting so far?
You know, anytime I can be in nature, I absolutely love it. We got to do one in St. George, and that was stunning. But I think this one that we have coming up at the end of April in Bear Lake, it's turquoise blue water like the ocean, but it's set up in the mountains. And so I'm really looking forward to that one.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, and so that sounds amazing. What you have concocted here, and I say concocted because as we said earlier, this was Bridget's last calling and Carla's last calling and my last calling actually, because I, even though my background is in education, I am fully but surely phasing myself out of education, even though I'll still have the education degrees and to be a full-time writer and to have an income. And it's very easy now to self-publish books. And so you don't self-publish, Bridget, do you?
I'm actually working on a book to self-publish because I think in order for me to teach in today's society, I have to have that kind of experience so I can help my authors all the way through the process. So I've worked with small publishers and I've worked with traditional publishers. And by the end of the year, I will also have a self-published ebook and also in printed format. And that way I can,
congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited about it.
And what has been your favorite publishing house or publishing mecca to work with?
Oh, you know what? I would have to say that I absolutely love and adore Hachette. The Witness for Red was published under their Grand Central print, and I just have to say that they were exceptionally professional. They understood that it was more than just a message, that Rebecca was really creating a movement, which is true, of, you know, empowering women and empowering women in the FLDS and any other places where, you know, they've been spiritually in crisis and have been manipulated and controlled, and they really got that. And so my editor, Emily Griffin, was so amazing. We had copy editors that were amazing. Our publicist was fantastic. I just had a really fantastic experience with Hachette, one that I will never forget.
Wow. The results have paid off. Jeez, the results have paid off. And you're not on the USA Today. You're not on USA Today, are you, with that book?
Not on USA Today, but certainly have been in several others. Yeah, we were a Wall Street Journal bestselling. We had Publishers Weekly. Yeah, we've been on a lot of different lists. It's been beautiful.
What's that? Well, I appreciate the time tonight, and I'm going to turn it back over to my fabulous co-host, Carla Lynn Hall. Carla Lynn Hall, and she's going to lead us out because I'm looking at my clock, and it's 1 minute 58 seconds left.
Yeah, we've got Blog Talk Radio lady. She'll let you know too. So today we've talked to. M. Bridget Cook Birch about her book and about her message and what she's doing helping other authors. And her website is BridgetInspires.com. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and you can also reach WinCharles at WinCharles.com, and you can follow this program at BlogTalkRadio.com, WCA Woman with CP. So thank you so much for being our guest today and telling us. It just really opens up our eyes because, as Wynn said, the three of us have the same life calling. We love to write and we love to help other people learn how to do the same thing. So that being said, I will end the line and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you.